Good evening, sir. My name is Terrence. I'm a grace recovered addict. First of all, I'd like to thank the committee for inviting me back once again to share. And I'd like to thank God for all the things he put me through to have me standing here today. It gave me a topic, faith versus fear. I want to tell you, fear was a motivating factor that got me here today. Because I was scared of everything and everybody, and I didn't like who I was. Fear. Whew. I didn't like who I was, number one. So fantasy and fear, I guess, played a big part, because I wanted to be like the big guys, you know what I mean? The guys who drove the Cadillacs and wore the jewelry and hung out on the corner with the pretty girls. I couldn't be that guy just because of who I was, but I could play it. I could play it real good, you know what I mean? I taught myself. I thought I knew a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? But that's way back. Let me give you a little background on myself. I don't call my family dysfunctional, but I didn't live with my parents until I was 5 or 6 because they left me in North Philly with my godparents, and they moved to Germantown. And later I found that was to make a better life for me, you know what I mean? They moved up to Germantown and set up house. My mother, my father, and my sister. And they left me in North Philly with my godparents. I thought it was a long time, you know what I mean? Because I suffered from a lot of abandonment issues, you know what I mean? And fear played a lot, big part in that, because I thought they were gone for good. You know what I mean? I thought they were never coming back to get me, that I had to live down here in North Philly with my godparents. They showed me love, don't get me wrong. They took real good care of me, real good care of me. The bottom line, I thought my parents and my sister had left for good. And I was scared to death. That's why, you know, I'm saying I grew up with a lot of fears, a lot. You know what I mean? I was a small person. I blew it up a little bit. But I was always shorter than everybody, you know what I mean? And I always had to prove myself, you know what I mean? Coming up, you know what I mean, because first of all, I went to Catholic school. My father and my mother, they went up to Germantown, and when I got there, they put me in Catholic school. And me, my sister, and later on my brother, who had hemophilia, he was living in Jersey with my father's sister. He came to live with us, and we had a complete family. You know, that's why I say it wasn't dysfunctional, it was just, they're like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. You know what I mean? Because I was in North Philly, my brother was in North New Jersey. My sister was at home with my mother and father. Then when they get us all together, they put us in an all-white Catholic school. Parochial school, you know what I mean? And for a long time, I didn't know where I fit in. You know what I mean? I was fearful. You know, the nuns, they were strict disciplinarians. They used to beat my hands with rulers because I wouldn't listen. You know what I mean? And that was all because of fear. You know what I mean? I was scared of them bros walking around in that white habit. You know, in that black singing with that white thing and big crosses on it. I was scared of them. You know what I mean? I was a kid, you know what I mean? And I was brought out of North Philly into the Catholic environment, you know what I mean? And I had to wear a suit and tie every day. That was another hang-up, you know what I mean? And what took me out was the public school was right across the street. You know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out why didn't I go to public school with the other kids that lived on my block. You know what I mean? To make it short but sweet, the other black kids, you know what I mean? Because for a long time, for the first 3 or 4 years, me and my sister and my brother were the only 3 blacks in that whole school. You know what I mean? And I didn't know what was going on, you know what I mean? And none was, and I couldn't learn, you know what I mean? I flunked the first grade, you know what I mean? And how dumb do you have to be to flunk the first grade? You know what I mean? I mean, smart, you know what I mean? I was confused. I was out of place, I thought, you know what I mean? But coming up, I stayed in trouble, you know what I mean? I was an addict waiting to happen because my behaviors and my surroundings, you know what I mean? I didn't know what to do, how to act, or I had bad coping skills. I was just bad at it, you know what I mean? Bottom line, you know, I didn't know how to live, you know what I mean? And it carried on into my juvenile age and into my adulthood. You know what I mean? I was always confused. I was always scared. You know what I mean? And when I got hold of drugs, I could talk to people. You know what I mean? I felt that euphoria come over me. You know what I mean? I thought, you know, what was I missing? You know what I mean? The first time I got high, we went to the state store and got this guy to buy us 3 half gallons of wine. Went to the playground and we passed the bottles around and drank. And the fellas, I got so drunk, the fellas put me on my porch, rang my doorbell, and left me standing there. You know what I mean? I went, my father opened the door, and I spit up all over him and all over the house. And he punished me, you know what I mean? And that was my first experience with alcohol, you know what I mean? And it was a bad one because I not only got sick as a dog, I got punished like, you know, ungodly. He made me stand out the whole year for that. My father, he was a strict disciplinarian, you know what I mean? The nuns used to send notes home, he'd beat me, you know what I mean, and tell me to stay in the house, and I had to stay in the house. So, basically, I don't know. It was a crazy upbringing, but I guess it was cool, because he fed us, I kept clothes on. You know what I mean? We never had to worry about lights or gas or water and stuff like that. He took care of us. But I was just angry at him because he, you know, I didn't think he loved me. Bottom line, I didn't think my father loved me. You know what I mean? And when he died, I said good. You know what I mean? And now that I'm in the middle of a 4-step, you know what I mean? I'm just looking. I'm seeing that my father didn't want nothing but the best for me. You know what I mean? Because all my life, he told me things now that my sponsor tells me that I listened to today, but I wasn't listening to him. You know what I mean? Like I said, I was confused and fearful and angry. I had a lot of anger. Big guys, I used to fight them at a drop of a hat. I'd get a stick, a brick, anything, I'd fight. You know what I mean? Because I was always, you know, intimidated by people bigger than me, you know what I mean? And I was scared of them, basically, and I'd get them before they got me. You know what I mean? But then the addiction really took off. You know, it was like I said, I was an addict waiting to happen. You know what I mean? And when I was in Westford, I got in some trouble where I shot this guy in the butt with a shotgun. I called myself a gang member. We had got in a little rumble, they called them back then today, and I shot this guy in the butt. So instead of them sending me to jail, they sent me to West Philadelphia with my auntie and my three male cousins, and I went wild because I had that freedom that I was looking for all my life. You know what I mean? I thought I had that freedom. And my cousin Ronnie was in the bathroom and he was getting it in. He had this eyedropper. He tore it and off a dowel and he put a spike on it and he drew some stuff up out of a bottle cap. You know what I mean? I said, I wanted some. And I guess he gave me a G-shot and I felt madly in love. And I come to find out it was heroin. And I felt madly in love. And I had a little job at the time, so on Fridays when I got paid, I used to send my cousin to get me two bags of that thing, and we'd shoot it, and I'd go into my little world. But I fell in love with heroin the first time I ever experienced it, you know what I mean? And then for the next 30 years, I didn't start until I was 17. I shot drugs. I did everything. Basically, I was a garbage can. I did ups, downs, rounds, corners, everything. Anything to make me feel other than who I was. Anything to take me out of myself. Till I came in and how I got to Narcotics Anonymous. All this time, I kept, you know, something. Like, I guess like the brother was saying today, earlier, that my spirit was telling me I wasn't supposed to be no addict. So I was in and out of rehabs. I've been in and out of rehabs numerous times. I stopped counting rehabs after 9, and detoxes, I can't even start counting the detoxes I've been in. The last time I went to a rehab, I'm an insulin dependent diabetic also. You know what I mean? Because I was killing myself. My body was deteriorating. I weighed 120 pounds. I was dead. I just wouldn't lay down, and they didn't throw the dirt on me. That was basically it. I was dead walking around because I had diabetes. I got hepatitis C, you know what I mean? High blood pressure. I got, you know, I waited till I got clean to fall apart. But basically, when I went to this rehab and they asked me if I wanted to continue my recovery. And I was tired. I was beat. So I said, yeah. And they called all the Salvation Armies in Pennsylvania. And Erie was the only one that would take an insulin-dependent diabetic. And I said, well, come on with it. You know what I mean? I'll take it. You know what I mean? Because I was tired, man. I was messing with this girl. I went with her for 13 years. And, you know what I mean? My mom died, my sister sold a house, and I had to move in with her and her mother, and she treated me like, she treated me bad. You know what I mean? Bad. You know what I mean? She started talking to me any old kind of way. You know what I mean? And I told her, I said, when I go to this rehab, I might not want you when I get back out of here. You know what I mean? And, you know, she said, well, and I don't mean, you know, she gave me the old. So I went, I went to Erie. It took me 12 hours to get there on the bus, you know what I mean? And through the grace of God and His grace and mercy, I've been clean ever since, and that was July 21st, 1996. So, and I just celebrated on July 21st, 6 years. But you could have never told me that I'd be standing here talking to people just like myself when I came up here, because when I went to the Salvation Army, I was acting up. I stayed on restriction. They gave me a 7-day restriction when I first got there, and then I came out of Donald's, lit up a cigarette because they got smoking areas in Salvation Army, and they gave me 21 days restriction. So I spent my first 30 days in the Salvation Army, literally in the Salvation Army. I didn't come out for nothing. You know, they did let me go to a few meetings. But what I'm trying to say is the Salvation Army showed me to my God, and my God showed me back to Narcotics Anonymous, showed me Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm so thankful because Narcotics Anonymous literally saved my life. And the faith part of this thing, you know what I mean? I got faith on a daily basis that whatever I go through, God will bring me out, or somebody will give me the information to tell me what to do, or suggest to me how to do it a different way. Because I'm learning about myself in Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous teaches me on a daily basis that I don't have to have the same behaviors and attitudes, and I don't have to act out. I can do something different. You know what I mean, if I get angry, I can do something different. You know what I mean, I can step off and say a prayer. But basically, this faith and fear thing, like I was saying, I'm still fearful on a daily basis. You know what I mean? Because at first I didn't think this thing would work for me. I really didn't. I saw other people doing the program and living happy, joyous, and free. But I didn't think it would work for me. But I got a sponsor that truly loves me. You know what I mean? I watched this guy for a year and a half before I asked him to sponsor me. And I didn't do my first step until I was clean 2 years because I was scared. You know what I mean? And even though when I did my first step, I found out that I was powerless and unmanageable, and that I couldn't change nobody but me, and that, you know, I either had to change or I was going to die. You know what I mean? I'm still fearful because I wait till the pain gets great, and then I'll do something about it. And that was the same way with step 2 and step 3. And I'm in the process of doing a step 4 right now because I was scared to death of finding out about myself. You know what I mean? Everybody kept saying, if you don't do a 4 step, you're doomed to repeat. You know what I mean? And even that, even the threat of me going back out to that old familiar pain, I was scared to do a 4 step until I think it was late May of this year. I called my sponsor and said, "Man, you gotta help me." And he said, "Well, how can I help you?" I said, "Well, this 4 step, I know I gotta do it, but I'm scared of it. You know what I mean? I'm scared of me. You know what I mean? Even though it's stuff that I've done and it's all gone, you know what I mean? I'm scared of repeating it, you know what I mean? Or I'm just scared of talking about it, basically, because I've done some slimy things. You know what I mean? I wasn't nothing nice out on the street because, like I'm saying, I was scared 75% of the time. And sometimes I didn't have the money to cop, so I had to do some pretty ugly things, you know what I mean? My mother was my enabler, you know what I mean? I used to go in the house and cry and get money from her, stomp and holler and scream, you know what I mean, until she gave it up. You know what I mean? And that ain't no, you know, nothing good to remember, you know what I mean? And I used to crawl on my stomach at night when she was in the bed, get to her pocketbook. You know what I mean? I used to do stuff like that. And that ain't nothing nice. And I didn't want to remember none of that stuff. It was buried deep. And I didn't want to remember none of that stuff. So, you know, I asked my father, I said, would you help me get started on this fourth step? So I rode down to Meadville, and we started the fourth step. And you wouldn't believe the freedom I got, you know, because he asked me those questions, those questions that I was scared to ask myself. You know what I mean? We had the four-step guy there, and he was brutal with me. You know what I mean? Because one of those questions he asked me, did I ever think my woman stepped out on me? And I said, well, no, she never showed no signs. He said, well, get on! Talk about that, you know what I mean? And he said, well, think about when you didn't have no money and you wanted to get it in. You know what I mean? What did you do? You know what I mean? So, has she ever went to cop and stayed a little longer than she was supposed to? And I had to admit to him, yeah, she did. You know what I mean? And it was questions like that. You know what I mean? Things, you know, that you don't want to admit to yourself that he asked me. And now I'm working the fourth step by myself. You know what I mean? I'm getting home from work and I'm reading. And I'm writing them steps and I'm answering those questions by myself. But that's what the benefit of this program will do for you. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing but love here. Nothing but love here. My sponsor, you know, he showed me how to get honest and ask myself some hard questions. And I'm doing that. You know what I mean? And I'm getting ready to share with him and God in a minute. You know what I mean? But faith, I got a God in my life today, y'all. I try to go to church every Sunday, you know what I mean? Which, you know, I think it's a big thing, you know what I mean? Because at one time you couldn't get me near a church. But now I get up Sunday and I take a job, I get dressed and I go to church. And I pay tithes, you know what I mean? And I got faith that God is going to bring me through this thing, you know what I mean? And every day I say a prayer, you know what I mean? I ask God to take temptation out of my life, to let me make the right decisions, you know what I mean? And to guide me through the day. And it's working, and I got faith every day, you know, that, you know, God will do this for me on a daily basis, you know what I mean? Because at one time, I didn't even have a God, you know what I mean? Even though I was brought up a Catholic, you know what I mean? They taught that fire and brimstone stuff. If you sin, you're going to hell. And I thought that I had sinned so much that God wasn't going to forgive me, you know what I mean? But through Narcotics Anonymous, and the people in it, and the people that I've grown to love in this fellowship, I got faith that, you know, if I take suggestions, and if I keep coming back, and if I do the next right thing and help another addict, that God is going to help me do this thing on a daily basis. And one day, you know, I'll be celebrating 10, 15, maybe even 20 years on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to stop here because I'm thinking, and when I think, I just ramble. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you for asking me to share. My name is Terrence. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Second speaker is going to be Kenny. Good evening, family. Hope to die open. Hope to die open, Kenny. I Clean Data 8888 to sponsor so many times I share, just be sure to share that and allow someone else to know that this journey is possible for everybody. You know, when I had the topic, I was thinking, I really didn't know the topic, so I asked one of my friends that kind of got me into this, what the topic he didn't know. So I said, well, I don't know who else knows, but I know God knows. So I'll just show up, I'll dress up and show up and maybe shut up and let somebody else maybe teach me something. Then when I found and heard the topic was fear versus faith. Well, what do I know about fear? What do I know about faith? So I had to go back to the basics. For me, fear is faith, everything, and recover, or forget everything and relapse. You had to look on the positive side, look at faith for all I thank him. You know, when I break it down, I can kind of like understand it. I can kind of like accept it. I can kind of like deal with it because I experienced a lot of that. And to make so I can get out the way, I was sitting back and thinking, now I got a whole lot to think about fear. Being halfway from nowhere, no street lights nowhere, and got to deal with 601. And I gotta have faith in the driver that he know where he's going, he ain't gonna fall asleep. Yeah, that's good and cool. So fear and faith, it hit me right soon I get in the car. I'm gonna hold on to that faith, and I'm gonna hold on to that faith, because the fear I got to leave here. Because I leave here fearful, ain't gonna tell where I might stay out of my simple mouth. So I say anything sometimes, and I got faith that it'll be alright. But you know, I was thinking about fear versus faith. You know, fear is a good friend of mine. Fear is my companion. Fear is my mate. Fear is my motivator. Fear is my demotivator. Fear is my staying power in Narcotics Anonymous. Because if I don't fear nothing else, I fear going back out there. Because I sit around in my mini self and I just watch. I stay watch. I stay connected. I stay plugged in. I stay in the here and now. Here and now is I'm in my recovery and I'm here, and then now I better stay in here. See, I had a problem with kind of faith like coming in. Then somebody, you know, my sponsor told me, I love my sponsor, but what did he know? He know, hold on, I've been like 29 years clean and sober. What did he know? He said, you know, you had a lot of faith in Willie Neckbone, Joe Spivengate, Harry the Hipster, Star, Juan Arnold Louis, and Taunton Bill. You had all the faith in the world in them kind of guys. Because them kind of guys are your hero. So I couldn't understand what he was saying. He had to break it down and say, yeah, I'm from the old school. I had to keep it. Yeah, keep it simple, stupid. I really got to keep it cutting. I got a lot of faith in that. Because that kept me around Narcotics Anonymous for these few days I've been around here. He said, you trust all the people out there. You got faith in them. The people are trying to destroy you, help you kill yourself, tell you that poison. I had a lot of faith in the death merchant. Is it dope good? Is it a burn? Is it New York? Is it from Milwaukee? See, I was looking at names. And all the faith when guys told me that he had the killer on him. See how smart and intelligent I am. Boy, I got the killer out there. Just killed three people. I said, man, where is he at? Because I got faith that I can handle this. I got faith I can do this. I got faith I got more sense than other guys. I got faith that I'm a smart at it. There's no dumb at it. I'm a smart at it. Had all the faith in the world that I would buy a few bags of that poison and save one bag for the next morning. I had faith in that. But you know what? The next morning never came. Because I know the CIA is going to break in that house, the feds are going to come, and I know they had a contract on me. So I had to use it. Had to use it. Because I had faith that God was going to wake me up the next morning, some kind of way, and he's going to put somebody in my path that feels sorry and will sponsor me on that daily journey, on the next journey. Gather a whole lot of faith. But see, I was twisted. My thinking was twisted. I was confused. I was under the false illusion that I was somebody. I was Harry Hipster, our hero. Had all these kind of dreams about faith.
not knowing I was motivated by fear. I used out of fear. I copped out of fear. I got clean out of fear. But I had to have some little coercion. See, I was coercing a lot of things. See, WPIC and the Western Thought Arts and Task Satisfaction Center had to help me believe, come to believe, that something could restore me to some kind of sanity. I had to have faith in there. I had to go down there 4 times. I came to believe. I had faith. Because the fear was gone. The fear was gone. See, but in the morning I had to have something to help me come to believe. Going through the fear. I'll tell you how my thinking was. I didn't have faith when I go up one of the galleries. No fear. No fear. Didn't matter who was in there. Didn't matter who just got off first. Didn't matter who took the water, claimed the gimmick got something, squirted on the floor, on the floor, and I got to use it behind. 5 people in the red house that I was in, not here today, they died. Jeff is on this page here. Did that witness that open my eyes to anything? No, it didn't. But I still had faith, even though I abandoned everything and everybody. There's a power, a God, that will take care of me. See, I believed a long time ago that he would. But I just wasn't ready. I didn't know I'd be obedient. You know, one of my blessings, like I can go wrong with fear, because I had a lot of fears. I mean, I feel fearful today. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I know all fear is a feeling. What faith is, for me, is God. So I know today, by serving the person that I serve today, I have no fears. Because as the main thing talks about tonight, when you start living these steps, now my biggest fear that I believe, what I came to believe, was when y'all told me that I could not use no more. That was my biggest fear. Because I'm going to die today, I'm going to die tomorrow, morning ain't going to come. You know, I remember cussing the sun in the morning. I know a little bit of everything this. Cussed that sun in the morning when it came up. Because that alarm clock went outside. That inside job, that's fear. All right, get up. You get up, it's time to feed me. You chose me, I didn't chose you. I had that fear for years. If I could just stop using, God would take care of me. But that fear of being sick kept me bitten all the time until my hands up the band and cried. That fear kept me going in and out of different people's apartment without their consent. I'm not going to say I was a burglar. I didn't burglarize nobody's house. I just went in bars and stuff without their permission. See, that fear told me I could climb up that drain pipe that I was taking. I watched TV. That's the villain's suggestion. Watching how Batman and Catman do that stuff. Going up, jimmying up a drain pipe. I was scared to get up this floor on the second floor. But that fear of being sick helped me up there. Everybody see Mighty Joe Young, how he climbed up that pole? He weighed 500 pounds, he climbed a pole that thick. I was all that. Because in my mind, that fear told me I was a chip, the dip, and the Pepsi. That fear told me if I didn't make a way for me, I would surely die. That fear told me if I didn't get something soon, it was over. See, I was too scared, I was too full of fear to stop using. I was too full of fear to continue using. So I was stuck out there in Adam, I was stuck out there out of fear. The only thing that held me was fear. I had to have fear. But I had to pretend it wasn't there. Had to mask it. Had to put on this mask that I was this gangster. Wouldn't go right to the wind. Wouldn't jump on the bus with a transfer. But that fear told me if I didn't stick this person up and bring out that person, I would surely die. So I do know a little about fear. I have danced the wolf with fear. I have wallowed. They told me if you keep blaming dogs, you get the police. But that spirit that wasn't believing me, because that was false spirit to me. Because that disease told me that I was okay. That I was all that. I was a chips, dip, and a Pepsi. That spirit told me I had these things I had to do, these unnatural things. That spirit told me it was all right to crawl on the floor as a woman that had birthed me, for carrying me for 9 months, like Karen talked about. I had a lot of belief that to crawl across that old stitching floor, that crack when you throw crosses to get to her purse between the patches, that spirit drove me there. And I believed that my disease would help me there and back on the journey. So, you know, you talk about fear versus faith. I was a fearful young fool, and I became a fearful old fool. The stock stepped out there in 31 years, 40 years, tell me age a minute, 40-some years, stuck. One thing I latched on is fear. Because I couldn't tell nobody what was going on with me. I couldn't tell nobody I was afraid. I couldn't tell nobody I was full of fear. I couldn't tell nobody that I just didn't know what to do. I could not ask anybody how you do these things, how you walk through the thing. I could not ask anybody how you examine yourself and understand these things, understand that you're a human being, these things happen, and there's a way out. I couldn't tell nobody that. Because purely all would laugh at me, reject me, talk about me, disown me, distrust you, distrust me. I don't blame someone. Someone still don't trust me today, but that's all right, though. But you know, but being driven by fear is a situation that I was with my worst. The judge sent me on that resort, now Western Diagnostic Classification Center, for 5 years. But fear helped me through that. See, fear's been a friend of mine, a companion of mine for years. I was raised, my first experience of fear, I had a mom, my mom. God was so old, God, he called her home about 3 years ago. I remember my biggest fear. She was 5'1", weighed about 110 pounds, and was the toughest woman I've ever seen in my life. I remember going out there, working, buying these guys wine. I didn't mind them. Them guys, they didn't bother me. I wasn't no fear of them. I feared coming home, she smelled that liquor on me. Because she smelled something on me, I would let my shirt tail touch my butt until I whoop yours. That was a promise. That was my first experience with fear. But coming up, not being able to tell nobody, I was just a scared young man. But I didn't know how to tell nobody. Because men don't talk about those things. That monetarism would kept me stuck, would kept me sick. You know, that self, you know, that self-provider, that self-motivator, that self-protector, that self-healer, that self-nurturer, that self-guy don't ask nobody for nothing. I was locked in that fear, and I couldn't tell nobody. The key was right there. The fear would not let me reach and get that key. Focus this up. Because this job here, on this journey, is an inside job. All this stuff is inside. And the fear would not allow me to tell another man, look, man, I don't know how to do this here. I'm scared. How do you get through this, man, without using? Because I'm scared of God, fear of death without using. I command a person to go out there and come back. I can't. And that fear will keep me stuck in these rooms. But, you know, along this way, that fear starts turning to faith for me. Because I saw some brothers. We carried a message out the attic. I saw some brothers that I knew was worse off than I was. And they were doing something different. And I wanted what they had. But I had become willing, totally willing, to do what they'd done to get it. I could not sit back on the couch and say, well, I want them 10 years, you got them 5 years. I want that look, I want that clip. Now I want that spiritual connection that you have. How did you get that? I couldn't ask another man that. Because I'm a male, I'm supposed to know. I know I was a sick puppy, but I know I'm the only man in this room who's a sick puppy. I was a sick puppy out there, lost. Lost between not identifying what fear was, not getting right with what God's faith was. Not understanding that. I thought faith had something inside of here. Because everything else here, in my way of thinking, I was confused. Abused, misused, mislabeled, misdiagnosed, and distrusted. I was a prisoner of my own, fear. I was in prison, but the worst prison I put myself in, a prison of fear, the inside one. So somewhere along the line, a faith situation because I put it in depth to me. But I heard some guys talking about how they get through things without doing anything crazy. I believe that. I started having faith in them because I saw them. I looked at the glow on their face. One, what really made me take notice to it, they were smelling good. You know, they were taking showers and baths and kind of things that I didn't do. So I knew something was different. When they shared that with me, I want what they have. I have faith that if I latch on to follow some direction, maybe, just maybe, there's hope for me somewhere along there. But see, I had to get humble. Because for me, humility and being humble meant the same thing to me. Because I'm from the street. They didn't talk about fears in the galleries. I'm a product of the galleries. And I know ain't nobody's been in the galleries with their banner minions, some banner buggies. I'm a product of that. We didn't talk like that there. So when I came around these rooms here, and y'all started talking about the stuff, I was full of fear all over again. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what they're doing. I don't believe these things happen. But I came to believe that there is a power greater than me. The biggest element of me was when I came around, they talking about these steps. Step on your own, my father said, look, don't worry about none of the other steps, because I was the rehab. You know, I was the smartest guy in rehab. But slightly one knew just to see. You was the first day I got in rehab. First day. My father said, look, you were step zero. No matter what. Don't worry about 1, 2, 12. Don't worry about none of that stuff there. You get in contact. Walk through your fears in that first step. Because y'all came out with news and I was scared to death. See, I confused fear with going through grief. A grief process. To me, they all say the same. Remember, I'm a product of the galleries. I'd be taught that tough stuff at. But when he told me, you look at that first step. When I looked at that first step, when it told me that I was powerless, when it told me I suffered from disease with a no-known cure, when they told me that I got a physical sensitivity in my new mind altering chemical, that fear subsided just a little. And that moment of clarity, just a moment of clarity, because I didn't get to when I was in the fog so long, but when I got that moment of clarity, Kenny, where's your faith walk? See, I was raised in the church. Somewhere along the lines, I strayed. So when I came back around here, y'all blessed me, allowed me to know that I had a physical sensitivity in my chemical, that wasn't insane like I was acting. That gave me some faith. So when I first stepped out the room, the first narcotic meeting was my first really in touch with faith. Because I heard the message. I seen some people that were just like me. But one guy, all the guys that I knew was worse than I was. He was doing things different. He was talking spiritual. He was talking about God. He was talking about his life change. I looked at him. I thought something was wrong with him. Oh, you threw the towel in, man. You threw the towel in. We don't throw the towel in. But I just hearing him. That faith that he had. And he told me, he said, look, if you don't have the God, deeper than problems, that's wider than your widest imagination, that's higher than all your dreams, then you need a God. If you don't have a God on your own, you have my God. And I became that faith in him. See, I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous to find God with his faith. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace, y'all. My God saved a wretch like me. He was always there. I was lost. God reached out his hand and said, son, you go 90, I'll go 90 years. God said, many are called, but you are chosen. You're one of my chosen ones. But some things you must do. And I wasn't ready. I was not ready. So what did I do? I ran out of here. somewhere along the line after that pain, you know, the pain has to get greater. Because they tell me, if the drugs don't kill you, the lifestyle will. So I was caught up in that lifestyle. I feared it, but I accepted it because that's all I thought I knew. I fell into that lie. All you know is how to use. That's a lie. The lie is dead. There's a lot of other qualities in there. So I had to look at some of my assets and not steady disposal of my liabilities. But let me get first step to talk about the powerlessness. I got accepted with that powerlessness. When I accept the fact that I was powerless and my life is unmanageable, my faith walk started getting better. When I came to second step, it says, we made a decision. So come to believe that a power greater than ourselves restored to sanity. That verse brings us sanity, and as a God of my understanding, which was ready, always been ready for me, I had to get humble. I had to look at faith versus fear. Do I get faith in this power? Do I have faith in it? So I came to believe in this power to restore me to sanity. Then the third step really helped me get in touch with this fear versus fear of faith. I made that decision to turn my life and will to fear God and my understanding. When I made that decision, it all became crystal clear. Ray Charles said, I couldn't see it. Because I kept putting illusions in front of all this stuff. I thought this stuff was hard, had to give up too much. But Kenny, you ain't got nothing now. I mean, you've been doing this here all these years. And we're always got you at. My best, all I knew, kept me sick, kept me stuck, kept me dependent, kept me sitting there 25 days. I had to get on to myself to believe that this power can restore me to sanity. I had to make a decision daily, hourly sometimes, moment sometimes, to turn my will, my life, with the fear of God as I understand it. Once I was able to do that, honestly do that, my faith was shattered. You couldn't see my faith when you saw me. I don't have to walk around with symbols on me. All you have to do is a few conversations, see God in it. When I did that fourth step, you make that fearless and fearless. Fearless is more inventory. That word fear come up again, I was petrified by that. And my father said, look, you'd have no problems going to Murphy's at the end, inventory, set the old end of toothbrush, which is good, please himself. You'd have no problem going to Giant Eagles, inventory, set meat rack, see where the steaks were. So all I have to do is take a look. Don't do nothing about it. What can you do about it? Just look. Take an inventory. The fifth step was so easy for me. Everybody else knew that I was killing myself. Everybody else knew I was stuck on stupid. Everybody else knew I was living in the abandoned medium. Everybody else knew I was staying in the abandoned car. Everybody else knew I was disconnected from God. God knew. So who's the secret from? I had to come to believe and to trust his power. I had to have faith in his power. I had to have faith in the God of my understanding. I had to find ways to eliminate or defuse this fear. Because I always try to defuse the bomb that always went off. You can't defuse the bomb that always went off till you give in to that power, understand it, allow that power, because I made the first thing, I don't belong to me no more. I made the decision, I belong to God. So what do I have to fear? For God on his side, who's been against me? I have to keep it simple. So I don't have to worry about these battles. Because it's not mine, he's fighting for me. And the sixth step, well, when I came in, I didn't have too many character defects. I didn't have too many I was willing to give up. Because at the top of time, you got to sprint. I couldn't do that. There's so many things, some of that stuff. I just got a fear, that fear basket, I did not want to give up. I wasn't ready. But see, whoever designed this program is a genius. That'd be God's program. The seventh step says, we humbly ask him to move these short times. Because there are character defects when I identify them and not want to do no work. When they become a burden and I have to be run that fear room again, they become a shortcoming. So I got to humbly ask him to remove these character defects. And you know, God is so good.
But once you get connected, reconnected to that power, all them fears, was nothing but a walk in the park from where I came from. You know, Ed, how am I doing today? I'm doing better than I deserve. Because being invited to a place like this, scared in the dark, and no street lights. No stop signs. And I'm a city boy. In the galleries and fashion center, there was lights always lit up down there. I mean, I go to right now, and it just feels blend right in. All them lights. But up here, this is God's country. So I know I get faith that God will do what he says he'll do. He'll supply all the needs. Don't have to worry today about fear, because all it is fear. I didn't worry about this faith part here, because I walk by faith, not by sight. Because I know my faith is for all I thank you. And I got so much you thank me and thank him for. I'm going to be all night just touching scriptures on how good that my God has been to me. Or rest like me. And like the brother said earlier, any addict can lose desire to use one day at a time and live this program. Because this is the way of life. It's the way back to life. Since God blessed me and I got clean for a couple days, this thing is open. Because wherever I go through the day, from where I come from, is a blessing and just a walking apart. Thank you for letting me share.